Good evening. Thank you, Jude. I appreciate your thoughts. And for those that don't know me, I'm Travis Shrek, and I wash windows, so call me. Not joking. It's great to be with you all this evening. My topic tonight is developing a godly thought life. And I really appreciate this topic because this is something that I have had a really, really, really hard time with in my life. I am not enough. All my friends and my family hate me. I will never overcome depression. I can't do anything right. I'm such a failure. I'm a burden. Everyone would rather be with someone else than me. I can't do this anymore. I wish I was more like him. They're so much better than me. There's no point to this anymore. Nothing good I achieve will ever be noticed. I'm a terrible father. I'm a terrible mother. No one would notice if I just disappeared. My friends all talk trash on me behind my back. I'm so ugly. Something bad always happens to me. My depression just brings everyone else down around me. I'm so selfish. I don't deserve the love of anyone in my life. I can never make up for all the harm I've caused. My parents must be so disappointed in me. I'm a loser who will never amount to anything. I'm no fun to be around. I should have said, I'm such an idiot. I'd rather be anyone else than me. Life is such a burden. I bet my parents regret having me. I'll never be enough for my romantic partner. If I died, no one would go to my funeral. The poor treatment I receive from others is all my fault. I'm not depressed, I'm just lazy. I'm such a weak person. If anyone really cared about me, they would be with me. I can't even clean my house. I must be completely useless. The world is so cruel and cold. I turn everyone in my life bad. I should be doing better in my life by now. I've squandered every good opportunity I've ever had. I don't deserve to have my depression. People have it so much worse. I cannot do things I know I'm capable of. Anyone would hate me if they got to know me. I will die alone. I'm so pathetic that I can't even take my own life. I don't deserve anything good to ever happen to me. Everyone who likes me is lying to me. No one would ever truly understand me. I've never achieved anything. No one wants to hear my opinion. I am unlovable. I am worthless. On average, a person processes about 50,000 thoughts per day, and 80% of them are negative thoughts. I ran across this statistic, and frankly, I'm not entirely sure if it's true or not. I think maybe for my wife it is, but maybe not for me. I think she probably has more thoughts than I do. And negative thoughts promote anxiety, depression, sickness, insomnia, social withdrawal, high blood pressure, and many other negative physical ailments. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we are told to take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. Control our thoughts. Well, if we're having 50,000 thoughts a day, that can be pretty overwhelming. That's a full-time job. The redirection of our thoughts and actions will start to change the neural pathways as habits begin to be replaced and new parts of the brain are used. The brain literally starts to rewire itself with a simple change of mindset. I found this while searching how negative thoughts rewire your brain, and it made me think of Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." We didn't need an expert to tell us this. God's the expert. He knows. He tells us right here, our thoughts will be rewired by the transforming of our minds. God does this for us. If we change our mindset, start applying new habits to our life, our brain will literally start to rewire itself. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. God knew what he was doing when he created humankind. God wants us to change the way we think, to control our thoughts. Okay, so how do you do this? How do you control your thoughts? That can be very, very difficult. Can you really control every thought that enters your mind? For example, if I say fat pig, what do you think of? A big fat pig, right? Yeah, it's not a trick question. You think of a fat pig. Now, you didn't know I was going to say that, right? That just entered your mind, okay? You didn't have a choice. Just like being tempted does not make you a sinner, neither does having a thought. What matters is what you do with that thought. How many of you are still thinking about that fat pig? Maybe some of you, you're not controlling your thoughts. So tonight I wanted to share with you some things that I found that I've found that helped me develop a better godly thought life. It's not perfect, and I don't always do all these things, and I don't do some of these things anymore. But one thing I thought of and that I've done in the past was journaling. I think journaling can be overrated for some and underestimated for others. I think it's a really good thing to do, a really good habit, even if you take a few minutes of your time to do it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Sometimes our thoughts can turn negative. And then doubt and worry and fear set in, and it can feel like a whole tidal wave. And it comes in and a brick wall is being built. For example, if I see ice cream on TV, I get excited. I love ice cream. And I think, oh, ice cream's not very good for me. I need to lose weight. I'm fat. I am not loved by my wife. She doesn't love me because I am ugly. See how fast a negative thought can take hold of you? Sometimes just writing things down can help us tear down that wall. It helps us get things out when it's hard to say out loud. One thing I've even done is written something down and then burned it, or threw it away, or did something with it to destroy it. It just helps, it helps me at least get rid of that. That thought shouldn't be there anymore. It's interesting. God is not scared of our sinful thoughts. He's not scared or afraid or upset when we have thoughts that we shouldn't have. He already knows. He already knows what you're thinking. So you may as well tell him. Because telling him helps us, not him. And how do we talk to God? Through prayer. And that's my next point I like to look at is prayer. Many times we feel like there's no one there, right? We feel like we're alone. And sometimes in the physical sense, that's true. At work, I work primarily by myself. I only see people in the morning and the evening when I return back to the shop. So most of the day, I'm by myself. Or am I? God's there. God is always there. And I forget that all the time. Our thoughts can very easily lead us to sin. Matthew 26, 40 through 41 says, "Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Jesus here encourages his disciples to pray so that they don't enter into temptation. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." Pray all the time. You see, we're not alone in this world. He is here to help us, and he's given us the church. I mean, look around. There are a lot of people here. And I don't think there's one person that wouldn't be willing to help you, wouldn't be willing to sit down and listen to you. We need to take advantage of that. God has given us a gift of the church. We can ask him to shape our thoughts, to help us control our minds and think on good things. For the next one, I'd like to look at Ephesians 6:17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Memorizing scripture, I think, is vital. It's something that I used to be better at and I'm not great at anymore, but I'm trying to get better at it. And here in Ephesians, we are told to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we are at war. And no soldier would go into battle without a sword or some kind of weapon. The word of God is our weapon. Jesus even used it in Matthew chapter 4 when he was being tempted by Satan. Every time Satan tempted Christ, he used the scriptures to combat it. Now, I think if that was good enough for Jesus, don't you think we ought to be using that? When we have thoughts come into our head and don't have anything else in our head, those thoughts will just grow. If we don't have anything up there, sin will enter and it will grow, and it'll lead us to more sin. Having scripture in our mind ready to recite is a good way to combat those thoughts. If you're dealing with something, if you're dealing with pornography, memorize scriptures that talk about sexual immorality. If you're having issues with food, memorize scriptures that talk about gluttony, and so on and so forth. There is not one temptation that we have in this life that the scripture does not address. We need to target our negative thoughts and stop them, and stop lying to ourselves. Psalms 119:11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Hide the word of God in your heart. It is more valuable than your desires. Which leads me to my next thought, and that is to purge sin. By purging sin, that will help us to develop a godly thought life. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What does a runner do before they go on a race? They get ready, right? They put on lightweight clothing that they can run faster. They tie their shoes, wear good running shoes so they can be faster. They don't get tripped up. Maybe put on some sunglasses so they can see their path more clearly. A runner has a goal in mind, and they're going to take the necessary steps to ensure that they finish the race. They get ready. What are we doing to get ready? Are we putting on the armor of God? Are we arming our minds with the word? You may find it beneficial to actually do something with your body when you find Satan is messing around with your head. This has helped me a lot. If I've, you know, you in your life, some of you may notice you have triggers, and sometimes it's good to pinpoint those things so that you don't allow them to be an issue. And so I'd like to look at Genesis 39:6-12. Genesis 39:6-12. "Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, casting longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as he spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left the garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Joseph literally ran away from temptation. I get chills reading that passage. I think of the strength that Joseph probably had to have when he was tempted so greatly by this woman. He had everything that he could ever wish for. Sometimes that's what we need to do, right? Sometimes we just need to run. We need to get outside, clear our minds, and focus on something else. Do whatever it takes to purge sin. One of the worst lies that I've heard people say to themselves is number 50 on my list, and that's, "I am worthless." Mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, telling those lies, pointing out your flaws. That isn't who you are. That isn't who you are. It might be hard to hear, but let me tell you, dear, if you could see what I could see, I know you would believe that isn't who you are. There's more to who you are. No matter what you've heard, this is what you're worth. More than all the money and or the diamonds and pearls, or this is who you are. Yeah, this is who you are. I see you dressed in white, every wrong made right. I see a rose in bloom at the sight of you. Oh, so priceless, irreplaceable, unmistakable, incomparable, darling, it's beautiful. I see it all in you. Oh, so priceless. That's some lyrics from a band called King for King and Country, named Priceless. And that's what we are. We are priceless. So when you think you're worthless or you're stupid or any other number of negative thoughts, remember that God has placed a price on your head, and that price was only paid with the blood of Christ. Nothing else could afford you. We have to remember that. We have to remember that we are worth loving. We are worth more. Because God said so. I didn't mean for this to be necessarily a gloomy topic, but this is something that I've struggled with a lot in my life. And it is freeing once you believe that.